Welcome back to Customers Who Click, the e-commerce podcast for D2C brands. In each episode, we will look to answer one important question. What is the one thing brands should be doing right now to get customers clicking? Each guest will take us through actionable insights and real-life examples from brands excelling in the art of customer attraction. So whether you're looking to enhance your conversion rates, boost average order values, or extend customer lifetime value, this is the podcast for you. Visit customerswhoclick.com for all our past episodes and to connect with us. Now dive into the world of D2C e-commerce with us and unravel the secrets to keeping those customers clicking. Hello and welcome back to Customers Who Click. Today's guest is the brilliant Jordan West, founder of Upgrowth Commerce and owner of a bunch of D2C brands. Jordan, really one of the best people to listen to in the e-commerce space. His content on LinkedIn is fantastic, very genuine. He's been there and done it multiple times, which I think is pretty rare. So I'm really excited to welcome him onto the podcast. So Jordan, welcome. Tell us why Upgrowth Commerce.
Thank you so much for having me. One of my very favorite things in the world to do is actually come on podcasts. And I realized, I'm like, oh yeah, I hardly did that at all last year. And so I started to actually get invited to a bunch this year. And I was like, oh, okay, this is easier than previous years where I'd been on like, I went on like 100 podcasts at one point, which was just the best in one year. Yeah, really great. I mean, if there's any agency people or service people on here listening, like that is probably the highest leverage activity that you can do in certain ways. Let's talk about Upgrowth.
But you have a podcast.
I do. Yeah, we're at almost 550 episodes now. Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yes, I've had all sorts of guests on there over the years. It's actually funny because I feel like solo brands is still in the news. And I had John Maris on the podcast last year, the year before.
Oh, yeah.
And him and I have actually kept in touch ever since. Not since he was fired as CEO there, but it's really interesting. Some of the guests that I've been able to have on over the years. And yeah, it's really fun. Podcasting is just one of the best mediums that you can have to have a wonderful conversation. Like I was so looking forward to it. I was like, oh, I've wanted to talk to Will in like a longer form kind of reason, right? And I only do 15 minute calls. If you guys ever try and book a call with me, the max I will ever do is 15 minutes, unless it's a podcast. And if it's a podcast, it's like, awesome. Well, let's dive in. Let's look at some of the nuances of what's going on here. Let me tell you what I think and what I believe when it comes to this kind of stuff, because maybe it's a little bit different than what you believe. It's not just a tweet, right? It's a little bit different than just a tweet or a LinkedIn post. So that's why I love it so much.
Yeah. It's 25 minutes of conversation, which is, that's a pretty long LinkedIn post.
Really. Oh, I know, because I oftentimes will write LinkedIn posts and it'll be like, oh, you're 2000 characters over. I'm like, I guess this should have been a blog post.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Upgrowth Commerce.
So Upgrowth. So years ago, so I've owned e-commerce brands since 2015. We've been in the game for a long time. That's almost 10 years. I just actually thought about that. Tomorrow's my 38th birthday and I'm starting to like, think about all these different things. So yeah, we've been all in the game for almost 10 years. And actually, no, you know what? We have been in, because my very first e-com company was a drop shipping company called Hoverboard Authority. And I did that in 2014. I owned a restaurant at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was like, I want to try out this, like these Facebook ads. And I want to try. And I actually ended up doing most of it through Google. And it was awesome. I actually made a lot of money doing it, but it was a product. I didn't love the hoverboard industry back then. So it's funny to still see people on those. But, you know, we own brands over the years. And really what we found was that we were attempting to hire agencies often, right, as we were starting to scale up. And then realizing that we knew way more than the agencies knew, for the most part, right? Like, we were trying to figure this thing out and getting really confused with that. And so I started to do consulting. I love consulting so much. And I would do consulting for free for a lot of people just because I'm like, I don't need the money. And I just wanted to do it. And then they would start to ask, well, can you do this for us? And I was like, no, I'm like, I do not have the time to do this for you. And then I got asked so much that I was like, I guess I can get some employees and I can teach them and help them. And then this sort of ballooned into what it is. It was originally called Mindful Marketing. And then we did some advertising in the Boston area. Canada has this awesome grant. It was like a $75,000 grant. And we did some advertising down in the Boston area. And somebody just happened to own a trademark that was really similar to Mindful Marketing. And anyway, threatened to sue us. And so we just decided, I never signed an NDA, so I can talk about
it's never a great thing.
I mean, it's just such an American thing. Like Americans, why sue so much? Can't you talk? Can you just talk to people? How hard is it to like negotiate or just say like, hey, Jord, I don't really like how you're using that trademark. I own it. How hard is that? Anyway.
Yeah. When the first thing you get through is that legal letter, you're like, okay,
Well, this hasn't started very well.
No, totally. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, that's the person you want to be? That's how you want to show up in this world? Like, man, it's so much bigger than business and money and all these things. Like, it's who you show up in the world as, right? Like, that's really what matters at the end of the day. I don't want to be friends with people like that. And at the end of the day, it comes down to your friends and family and the quality of life you have. And anyway, we became Upgrowth Commerce at that point. And I'm so glad that we did, because it really allowed us to get out of just the marketing sort of sphere and really into commerce in general. And I think that's really what we are passionate about at Upgrowth, is really figuring out, like, what are those next plays? And it really helps that I own brands, because I understand what's working with these brands and I want to try it out with my brands. And so I'm like, awesome, let's do that. And then let's figure it out for other brands.
Yeah, I really like that approach. So did Upgrowth come first and then you started acquiring brands, or was it almost the same time?
Yeah. We owned brands first and then we started acquiring brands. And then Now we're very much paused on acquiring brands. Right now is a very difficult time. If you're in direct to consumer and you're sub 10 million, it is a very difficult time to weather right now. And so we've really paused all of that acquisition over there. And we're going hard on a lot of things at Upgrowth, which I'm super, super excited about. For a time, I was really more CEO in title at Upgrowth. And now I've really taken the reins over the last year. And as I have, we've tripled the business in the last year, and we're probably going to triple again this year. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I think when we first connected on LinkedIn, I was very much under the impression you were a brand owner.
Yeah.
And you ran brands. And definitely, yeah, in that last, well, I wouldn't know how long really, but I'd say last year, yeah, I've seen you more as consultant, agency, e-commerce, ecosystem sort of person. So it's really interesting to hear that. That's kind of how you've gone with things as well.
This was the biggest thing for me. Last, I believe it was March, Alex Tremosi was launching $100 million leads, and he was sending out just these awesome YouTube videos. I know it's that long. And so I remember he was doing the pre-launch for it. I think he actually ended up launching in the summer, but this one video that he shared, this keynote that he shared, was about an hour long. And I got it in my email and I was like, huh, like, I don't really have the time, but I really want to watch this. And it changed my life. And I send it to everybody, because really what Hormozy talks about in this keynote is focus. He's like, you need to focus. You need to get rid of all your other distractions and focus on one thing. And he talks about how he was in the same situation. He even said, he's like, I had 8 businesses. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's where I am. And he's like, and you're probably, none of them are probably crushing, right? I'm like, yeah, I mean, they're doing okay. Like, we've got a beautiful life, but like, none of them are ones that I'm like, I'm building this thing to the moon, right? They were all like, I mean, mid 7 figures, that's great, but it's not really like, I don't know, it just wasn't hitting. And so I watched this keynote and it really changed my life. So I just wanted to recommend that one out there. And that's why I wanted to step in that.
Okay.
I think search like Alex Tremosi red dress keynote, and it's phenomenal. Okay. Just talking about this laser focus. And that's why we've tripled. That's the only reason that we've done it.
I feel like I've heard something about red dress quite recently. You might have posted it on LinkedIn, or someone else has commented. So that might be the right thing. Yeah, cool. So you mentioned, obviously, right now it's difficult for brands. So what is the one thing you think brands should be doing right now to get customers clicking?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so excited when you're telling me what we're going to be talking about. I'm like, oh, I am all in. You better be asking me about this, Will, or I'm going to be steering the conversation into this right now. So here's how, let me talk about what we're doing at the agency. And let me tell you why I think the agency model is broken. If you're watching this, you can see in the background here, what it says behind me is agencies suck. The reason why agencies suck is because they are big machines that aren't necessarily set up to make you money. They're set up to make themselves money. And that's not bad, right? But what I've really noticed is, I'm like, something's broken. We need to figure out where the win is, right? I'm a huge 7 habits guy. And thinking win, I know it sounds lame. It's the best thing you can do. You have to understand what the win on the other side is. And I think that's why we win at Upgrowth, is that I have the empathy. I understand. I'm like, when people at my agency will talk about brands in a certain way and not understand what they're going through, I will always take the side of the brand owner, because I'm just like, it's so much bigger than what you think, and so much harder to run a brand than what you think. It's not just marketing. There's so much that goes into it. And so what I've really been thinking about is, like, where do people actually, like, what actually matters when it comes to what we do at the agency to grow brands?
I remember a LinkedIn comment I saw a couple of years ago, which really resonated with me. I think a lot of agencies view it as, you've hired us as the experts, so let us do our thing. We're going to tell you what to do. You know, let us do our thing. We're going to run this marketing channel for you, whatever. You're hiring us because you don't know what you're doing, sort of thing, which isn't always the case. A lot of the time, it's they don't have the resource and time. And this comment was, if someone has built their brand to like seven figures, they know what they're doing.
Yes, they know.
Right? They've
yes,
got,
thank you.
They've got it right enough to get that far. They just need someone to take on a lot more work for them, help them scale it. And yeah, I think that's something that probably a lot of agencies don't get.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all these brands don't not know what they're doing. They just don't have the time
yes.
to do it or the resource
you,
to do it.
Thank you.
That's why they use agencies.
You articulated that so much better than what I was saying, but that's it. They're all really smart. And most of these brands, they're actually marketers first. Very few of them are product people. Most of them are marketers, right? They understand the game. They don't have the time. And so when they come and hire somebody to say, do like to run Facebook ads or something like that, they view you, just so you know, as a commodity, right? They're looking and saying, how can I pay the least amount of money to get the most results? That is it, guys. There is no other thing that they're trying to do at the end of the day. So how do you decommoditize yourself as an agency? Well, you can do strategy. You can do all of these different things, right? At the end of the day, you're in a red ocean. That's the problem as an agency. You're in a red ocean. And a red ocean is essentially where all that you can either do is get cheaper or better. And you're never going to get better than the best person. I'm sorry. Like, there's how many agencies out there? 100,000? Like, you're never going to get better than the next person.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to advertise yourself based on that, it's not going to work. Anyway, sorry, this isn't a big agency rant here, but I'm very passionate about it. And so being in the brand world, and I think I will always stay in the brand world to make sure to have that empathy. But being in the brand world, I saw TikTok shops come along and I was like, huh, this is an incredible opportunity. Now, TikTok shops is not just an incredible opportunity on the making money side. That's incredible, right? Like, I've got a buddy of mine, Brock, owns Frost Buddy. He did 350K in December on TikTok shops at this brand new platform that didn't really exist before like last September or maybe August. I don't know, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's not that long, is it? Like, the actual shop.
It's barely been around, right? And so think about that, right? He didn't run any ads to it. There was no ads being run to TikTok shops. So how does it work, right? So this is what I'm super passionate about right now. And the crazy thing is people don't get it. I have talked to my business partner here ad nauseum. This is what it is. This is how it works. I just got off a half hour rant with my entire team at Upgrowth trying to help them understand why things will never be the same because of TikTok shops. So the reason why TikTok shops is absolutely phenomenal, not just for running traffic on TikTok. Yeah, that's awesome. That's absolutely incredible. But the way that it's set up is it's an affiliate system, right? You only pay an influencer when they actually produce money. You also, in the back end of the system, know how much money they've produced, right? No, like, gone forever. I will bet you 2 years from now, you will not be paying like $1,000 a post. Like, you just won't be doing it. Everything will be an affiliate model.
Yeah. It's the way they're set up as well. Like you mentioned, affiliate model. There's no, well, there should be no tracking issues, right? Because you click on their call to action in their post on TikTok and it takes you to TikTok shop. There's no change of platform where you might lose the attribution somehow. There's no discount codes, which can go anywhere or might not get used. It's, you know, this person has driven this sale and they know that all the sales they've driven have been attributed. And they get
totally. Paid. Yeah. So there's that beautiful thing, right? So you're driving just a ton of traffic into your TikTok shop doing this. And we're doing this for brands. We've signed like some of the, and I can't say them. I haven't signed disclosure documents with them, but we're working with some of the biggest names in D2C that every single one of you would know because no one knows how to do it. That's the problem is that nobody actually understands. Besides, honestly, Brock is like the only person I know in this circle that actually knows what he's doing with this and understands the scale that you need to get to actually do it. So many brands that I've talked to are like, well, yeah, I worked with 15 influencers and it only drove like $1,000. So we didn't keep doing it. I'm like, 1,500 influencers or 15? No, 15. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. You know what the problem is.
You need that message everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? You want it popping up in people's feeds again and again. till it either annoys them to the point where they say, I'm not interested, get rid of it, or they click through them.
Totally. Then, and that's exactly...
Or at least have a look.
That's exactly right. Now, it goes way beyond that. I think TikTok shops are incredible. I think that it is the next Amazon. I really do believe. And I know I've seen somebody posting a bunch about Temu and how it's the next Amazon. I'm like, maybe it is. Maybe it is at some point. It's nothing like TikTok shops. The reason is that it is purely influencer driven, right? And that is what TikTok is. It is an influence platform. It is a platform that just carries all of this influence. TikTok made me buy it, has been trending for how many years now, right? And now you can just buy on the platform. But not only that, right? But there's more. There's this whole idea that you can actually, so what we do as part of what we're doing for brands is we actually try to get usage rights for every single piece of content before they post. So we say, hey, can we use, we're going to work together, we're going to send you out this product, are we able to also use this on other platforms? You know how many people say yes? Okay. I would say 20% of people on Instagram would say yes. 80% would say yes for a fee. That's classic Instagram influencer. They think that they have so much clout and it's ridiculous. On TikTok, 99% of people are like, use my content? Of course. I would love that. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, of course you can use my content. Well, what content do you think we're going to use? The ones that drove all the sales on TikTok shops in ads.
So do you get that ad, the actual post attribution? So you the exact post and content that drove the sales? Or you just know the person?
The post that drove the sales.
So
that's the crazy thing. Now what we do is we actually gather all of that content. So anything that you were tagged in, right? We actually gather it through this tool called Refunnel. There's another one called Archive. The reason I love Refunnel is because, and it's the worst name ever. Atif, I hope you're listening to this. Like, Refunnel. Come on, dude. You can do better. But the whole idea with Refunnel is that it actually gathers anything that you're tagged in, similar to Archive app. But it also allows you to run customer-generated content. And we're trying to coin that term right now. So CGC is what we're calling it. Customer-generated content versus UGC, right? UGC is still working, still outperforms most things, except for static single images most of the time. But UGC at a top level is still working. What's better, though, what's even higher is customer-generated content. Customer-generated content is phenomenal.
I feel like UGC was supposed to be CGC. But it very quickly just went, actually, we're going to pay people to do this and we're going to make it professional and scripted. And now everyone knows that it's influencers and it's paid for.
Yeah.
But yeah, CGC, like you say, is like the genuine content.
Like marketers ruined it. That's like marketers ruin everything because it's like, well, what can we do to get there faster? Right? How can we do there to get there faster and bigger? It's like the most American thing. You guys know I'm Canadian, by the way. So I poke fun at Americans all the time because it's true. It's like, whoa, what can we do to scale? And it's like, how about instead we create quality content, right? We don't need to create billions of more pieces of content. Let's get some quality content from our customers, actual customers who actually love our brand. You know what the crazy thing is? People know. Nuance is it's incredible how, like, I don't think robots will ever be what we are because we know, like, Will, I can see you, like, shift something and I'm like, huh, what's Will thinking? Huh, well, this, like, little tiny, like, shift. Humans are incredible. And so it matters because that's why customer generated content works is because we're picking up on all these little micro things that we have no idea that we've adapted over the years because we're the most incredible species ever. Like we're so amazed by AI and we're like, well, we're only amazed by AI because it can get about 10% of where we can get to. Like that's why AI is incredible.
Yeah.
But really we understand that nuance. And so what this does, right, is first of all, it gathers all of that UGC, right? Still love UGC, but it gathers all of it. We know that stuff's going to work. We can download it without a watermark and we can go and use it in ads. That's phenomenal. But now we can actually create these contests to gather customer generated content. And so we send it actually out to our customers through SMS, through email, through these places. And we give them a contest and we put a bounty on it. So let's say we're going to put $100 of store credit on it. Or $50 cash or Amazon gift card or anything. They use Parachute. Yes, Will.
And is this pushed out through Refunnel? Or is Refunnel just helping you gather that? So you still push it out on your own through your own email platform, SMS, whatever. When they then create that content, That's where Refunnel comes in and says, cool, let's gather up.
And also, when they decide to join the contest, they sign the release immediately there. So as soon as you accept it. So this is the crazy thing, is we've been doing this at one of our brands, Little and Lively, and we're getting so many views on the contest because they have to post it to be part of the contest. So we had one the other day that got 100,000 views on the contest.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're not even going to use it because it doesn't actually get us what we want for ads. But we just got 100,000 free views. So we go in and thank them. We'll probably actually pay them just because it's like, hey, thanks. That was an awesome post. 100,000 views. What is that in $10 CPM? That's $10,000, right? No, $1,000. Good math. So that's the funnel, right? Ads come in after. And I'm really trying to help people understand this, that like no one wants to hire an ad agency. That's not what they want to do, right? What they want is, number one, they want this taken off of their plate. Number two, they actually want to get into new channels and new ways of doing things, because there are just diminishing returns when it comes to advertising, right? There's not enough people being born that are buying things comparatively to the amount of people that want to advertise on platforms. It's just not going to happen. It's always going to be diminishing returns. So how do we get there? And that's where TikTok Shops comes in. And that's why we've pivoted. I think specialists are incredible, but as a brand owner, I actually don't like specialists. That's the truth. I actually like to go to agencies who have specialists, but I want one point of contact. That's it. I don't want to talk to a bunch of different people. I just want one point of contact who then can air traffic control to everybody else. That's what I want. And so that's what we've created.
I get that. I mean, when I was in-house, I had bad experiences with that, but that was probably the agencies, which is kind of how I've designed Customers Who Click how I have, which is we are a specialist CRO agency. We do that one thing. But what we've done is we've kind of brought in these audits from other agencies so that we'll do an email audit, an ad audit, whatever, SEO audit. And then we could say to the client, look, we think that you've got some opportunities here or some problems. Would you like an introduction to some people I know who I think can help you? And so we're still not providing that full service. It's not one point of contact, but at least we're providing a little bit more consulting and a little bit more outside of our core service, which I think is really, really valuable.
I think CRO is the one place I actually agree with you on, because I think CRO it's a different beast. It's a different beast than some of the other services, right? Like a lot of the other services are growth services. CRO is really like a refinement type service, right? So
it doesn't sit alongside the other channels. It kind of sits above or below, depending on how you want to put it. But it's like, it's not an additional marketing channel you sit alongside PPC. Yeah. It's something you do alongside everything. It feeds into everything. But one thing, just going back to the TikTok thing, one thing I wanted to ask was, based on what I've seen in TikTok Shop, it's loads and loads of cheap stuff, commodity stuff. I imagine a lot of it is just bulk order from like Alibaba or AliExpress. So, you know, can brands essentially put their shop onto TikTok and sell their normal products through TikTok normally?
Do brands work on Amazon? Because Amazon started with books, right? And slowly moved into all of these things. TikTok is really trying to protect against that sort of stuff, right? They really are. Like, they're really trying to make sure that these are actual brands that are coming on. It's an insane amount of work to get on, guys. Like, it's not easy at all. We are literally building a team of people underneath.
Okay.
So yes, it is the place for brands to be. Do you know? Here's the other reason why. These influencers that are driving the traffic. So there's a trampoline brand that we work with. Average order value of about $3,000. These influencers, they get a $300 check every single time they drive a sale. So of course they want to. If they don't want to work with little tiny commissions and these little commodity brands. Also, when I think of, for myself, I don't like to say this, but I actually am an influencer in the B2B space. Like, I get sponsored all the time with people. Now, only companies that I actually believe in, and software products that I actually believe in and that I use and all of that kind of stuff. But, and that's the point, is that it's only that I believe in it and that it actually makes a difference for me to do it. Because like, for somebody to give me $5,000 is like, okay, like I don't really care. But if it's a product that I believe in and I'm already using and I think that people need to see, then I do it. Then I will definitely do it. So the best influencers out there are people who actually have a soul and actually want to give good things to people, right? So yeah, people will game the system. Of course, they'll game the system and they'll put really crappy stuff out there from China. And that's just going to happen.
I see a lot of, I don't know how the algorithm exactly works on TikTok. I feel like it seems to weight itself so heavily so quickly. So you see like one bit of content, and if you stay on that for 3 seconds, suddenly your entire feed is that content. But I'm just conscious of the time. Before we finish up, is there anything you wanted to add on TikTok?
I really think that people don't get it, and that's okay. That's totally okay. I didn't get it for about 3 months. I was like, nope, I don't understand it. I'm like, it's probably just garbage. What I thought is that it was the same as Facebook shops were. I'm like, well, that doesn't do anything for us. That's like garbage, Facebook and Instagram shops.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's just a marketplace.
Those are just marketplaces that are like, you can just, great, you can have your product another place. I think that Facebook and Instagram are looking at this and being like, oh, we screwed up. Okay, we need to do what TikTok was doing. And it will. But you're not going to understand how to do it if you don't do TikTok shops. So, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, I feel like Facebook Marketplace originally launched as like a consumer-to-consumer competitor to eBay,
yes,
really. You know, if you've got stuff, you can just get rid of it. And it just very quickly got flooded with absolute rubbish. Everything's on there marked as free. Then obviously it's not free. You get in touch and they're like, no, actually this is $2,000, but I can't, you're not going to click it if I mark it as $2,000. You're like, oh, okay, right. So yeah, I think it's come up a few times quite recently, actually. Everyone's like, Facebook Marketplace is just, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and this is, Facebook shops are separate from Marketplace. So shops are like where you're actually like they try, like Facebook and Instagram started Facebook and Instagram shops during COVID. Right. And they gave people really good deals on it. And it was this whole idea that like, oh yeah, social selling is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It wasn't huge. They didn't do it properly because they didn't involve the influencers and they didn't gamify it like TikTok has, right? People love games. They love to be gamified, right? Like, and that's the great thing. Like influencers now can make way more. If they're a good influencer, they can make way more than they ever did before. You can make like I saw a post from Brock. One of his influencers made 20K in one day. One post.
In a day.
Yeah, which means that Brock made over six figures in one day from that post. So that's great. Now for the influencers.
And that's just one of the influencers doing
it. One influencer. Now, for the influencers who aren't good, they're not. It's not good, right? This means that they won't get paid per post and that they can just phone their content in like they have been for the last couple of years. It's changing the entire influencer ecosystem. Everything's changing. It's phenomenal. And I feel like I finally understand it and I am at the beginning of it here. So
amazing. Cool. Actually, before we finish up, what's the biggest mistake from your career?
Good question. So I would say not focusing sooner. I would say we've done a lot of acquisitions over the last couple of years, and some of them have been really bad and been really big boat anchors, really amazing brands. But in all, I chose the wrong partners to manage those companies. And I think over the years with mistakes, I think it can be boiled down to, I have been so nice to people over the years that I haven't been kind. I haven't been able to say the hard things that people need to hear and really understand like, no, this is not, maybe it's a standards thing, right? It's like, yeah, okay, that's okay. Cause I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's a very Canadian thing to do, right? Like, I just don't want to hurt your feelings, right? Yeah. I'm not that person anymore because by not hurting their feelings, I'm ruining their life, right? Or they're ruining mine. And so I think that's the biggest mistake that I've made over the past few years. And I'm just not making that mistake anymore. And it's a hard transition, I'll tell you. It's a very hard transition to be incredibly candid with people, but it has to happen or people don't get better. People will not change unless you're candid with them. And we're in this society, specifically in Canada, where we don't get to say those things to people. Right? Oh, you want to be this? You want to be a donut today? Oh, good for you. Right? No, that is ridiculous. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You don't get to go pee in a litter box. That's not okay. This is not the kind of society that we're living in. And so that's, anyway, I, too much ranting. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks so much, Jordan. If anyone wants to reach out and find out more from you guys or get on a 15-minute call, that's the best way of doing that.
Yeah, you can go to upgrowthcommerce.com. Check out what we have there. That's a great place to go. But please connect with me on LinkedIn. I think I try and share content every day. I will not commit to certain times like certain people do because I literally am posting what comes up throughout my day. So if you just search Jordan West Marketer over there, that's the best place. And then over on Twitter, the same thing, Jordan West D2C or something like that. So
brilliant. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. That's all we have time for today. If you have any questions or would like to add to today's conversation, join me here on the podcast, sponsor the show, or work with me. Simply email will@customerswhoclick.com, visit our website, customerswhoclick.com, or connect with me, Will Lawrenson, on LinkedIn. But until next time, keep those customers clicking.